Morning, church. You're in good voice. It bodes well. A warm welcome to you this morning. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We'll try that one more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Excellent. Good, good. We're just going to watch a short video as we start our Easter morning service this morning. Thank you.
This is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
It says in John's Gospel, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. As we start our Easter morning service, Louise is going to come and pray for us at the start. Thanks, Louisa.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, you teach us that Easter is about thanks and remembering your sacrifice, but we have other things to be thankful for at Easter time. In the Bible, you say that you provide for the birds in the air and the animals on the ground, and how more you'll provide for us. You teach us on Palm Sunday that you chose us to worship you. You sent a flood that covered the whole world just to rid the world of sin because you love us so much. And then, even when we turn back to sin, you sacrificed your son, Jesus. You sacrificed yourself for us because you love you so much. So right now, we want to thank you for your love and for your great sacrifice. Amen.
Amen. Do feel free to stand or sit as you feel able and comfortable as we sing some Easter songs together. But let's start by standing and singing. See what a morning, gloriously bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem.
Thank you. the King of glory.
Coming on the clouds with fire, the whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over.
Stand and pray where we are. Father, we remembered on Good Friday that this day was coming, and we don't want to forget on this day that Good Friday happened. Father, as we celebrate the resurrection this morning, we remember that sacrifice that was made too, and we remember our part in it, that it was for our sin, for our things that we do and the things we say and the things that we think that are wrong, that your sacrifice was necessary. Father, we just want to take a moment in the silence just to bring before you those things in our own lives that we're struggling with, for that sin that creeps in, for the rubbish that we allow into our lives. Father, we thank you for your undeserved love, freely given in your Son as a sacrifice for our sin. Father, we thank you for that grace, that you have reached out and restored us and brought us back into your family, that we can be called children of God. Amen. Do you be seated. So we've got our young people with us this morning, and I wanted to just share with them a story this morning before they go out to their groups. And it's a little bit of a sad story, but it has got a happy ending. So just raise your hands for me if you own currently or you've ever owned a dog. Just raise your hands for me. There we go, quite a number of people. Okay. You lot are definitely going to get this story. You will understand. Just raise your hands for me if you currently own or you've owned a cat. Quite a number of people going up there. Okay, cats around there. I'm not sure, to be honest. You might get this or you might not, and I don't want on Easter Sunday to cause a theological rift in the church between the cat owners and the dog owners. But the story is this, because when I was growing up, we never had a dog at home, me and my sister. My dad had allergies. We used to visit friends and relatives who had dogs, and he always come back coughing and sneezing. So we never had a dog. When Beverly and I had our three daughters, we didn't have a dog at home. I think just because we had enough with them. They were enough to cope with in terms of feeding and cleaning and doing all that kind of stuff. So my position was really with dogs that I kind of knew they existed. I knew it was for other people, wasn't to do with me, and I didn't really show an awful lot of interest in them. And then a couple of years ago, our middle daughter Abigail decided that they were going to get a dog. I was still indifferent, to be honest, and he was going to be a Cavapoo, and the dog was paid for, and then they had it round, and we were invited round to go and meet Percy, and I was kind of still just a bit indifferent. And then I have to tell you, church, when I met him, not ashamed to say it, I fell in love. I thought he was brilliant. He was absolutely fantastic. He used to play games. He was always pleased to see me. No one's always pleased to see me. Not even Beverly's always pleased to see me. He was always pleased to see me, and he would play with the ball. He'd go for a run. He would go for a walk. He's fantastic. And, you know, I was completely transfixed by it. And now what happens? If I haven't seen Percy for a couple of days, I have to think of a reason to invite him round or call round to do something just so I can see Percy. And it just transformed me. So I love Percy. I love dogs now. I'm always interested in dogs, and I'm learning, so I'm a new convert to them. But it occurred to me that it's a bit like Easter, isn't it? Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he told his disciples that he was going to do that. And he explained to them, and they didn't really get it, did they? But when they met and actually experienced that Jesus, that when he rose, their lives were transformed. And that can be the same for us. It's not about reading books. It's not about understanding. Our faith is about meeting the person of Jesus Christ and having a relationship with him. In the same way as my world was transformed by meeting Percy, we on Easter Sunday. So here he is. Hello. Hello. Hello, you. So meet Percy. Good morning. Oh, I'm going to give you a cuddle here. So here's my little friend, Percy. There we are. Look at all the people. This is exciting. Thank you to Abigail for bringing him in. Very kind. So what's going to happen in a moment? He's going to spot Beverly, and then he's going to have to be want to be a little lit here. So he's very cute, isn't he? There he is. Not there. Can you see him over there? Once again. I'm not sure he can get through there. There you are, look at him. Shall we do the birthday box now? Would that be okay? Yeah. Okay. So, have any of the young people who'd like to come and say hello to Percy? Has any of the young people got a birthday would like to come and get something from the birthday box? Any birthdays this morning? No? No birthdays. Okay. I'm going to attempt to read a verse. Let's see if I can. There we go. Shirt. Untangle the microphone. Ah, thank you, Percy. So there's a verse in John that says this. It says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. Okay, Percy. What's up? What's wrong? I'm still reading. Is that all right? My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, thank you to Percy for coming in. The young people are going to go through to the gifts, but before you do, David Cassay is just going to come and speak, because we've got some gifts for the young people as well as upstairs to be given out. So David's just going to explain what that's all about.
Most of you will know that we take a couple of residential home services during the month, each month, and the residents at Pine Lodge have actually made these little Easter baskets, and inside are a couple of little Maltese Easter bunnies. They've been busy, hard working over the last couple of months getting these baskets ready. I didn't know anything about them until Friday when I got home after the Good Friday service. There was an email from the activities coordinator, could I ring her? And I thought I was in trouble. But she said that they'd been working hard for a couple of months, and that because we support them, they wanted to support us. And so there we are, one of these for each of the children. There's 30 they made altogether. I did tell her that there were three that normally go to the service in the team, three of us that go there, so that would be 10 each. But she specifically said no, they are for the young people. And much as I would like to think I'm in that age group, I'm definitely not. So I'm going to, there are some upstairs already, this one's going upstairs as well, and I'm going to ask the leaders, wherever they are, whether they will share them out with the young people. Thank you very much.
Let's just pray for our young people before they go out. Father God, we do thank you for the risen Jesus and for the opportunity to meet with him and to get to know him. Father, we pray for our young people and our children now as they go out, that you would be with them. We thank you for their leaders who look after them and teach them. And Father, we do thank you for the people that have made these gifts. We pray that you would bless them too. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a good time at your groups. And we'll see you later on. Good. So just in terms of, by way of notices, there's too many good Easter hymns and we couldn't fit them all in this morning. So if you want to come to our praise and testimony evening this evening, then some of those will be appearing later on because you can't fit them all in. And then next week we've got our prayer and praise evening next Sunday evening. Now if you have got a song that you would like to have used in that, if you can speak to Linda or Julie, and they'll be leading that service. So it'd be good to hear of any that you'd like to contribute next Sunday evening there, even if that, you don't have to share why it's an important song to you, but good if you can share that with us. Cool. We're going to come to a time of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, as we look at our world, we recognise that it is much in need of a risen Saviour. And Father, as we want to experience that risen Saviour in our lives, we recognise that as God sent his Son, that you would send us too. Father, would you help us to be willing and able that you would send us wherever and however you would choose? Would we carry your presence into every area of our lives and into every area of our world? Your wisdom, your power, your love. Father, we pray that your kingdom would flourish in our lives, and we pray too it would flourish through our lives. And so we pray for those in need around the world. We continue to pray for the people of Ukraine. We continue to pray that peace would come soon to that conflict. We pray too for the Holy Land, for those caught up in the conflict in Jerusalem and Israel and Palestine. We pray that peace would come there too. We pray for those in our own community that are ill and need your healing. And we just take a moment in the silence to bring before you now those that we know who need a touch from your healing hand. Father, we pray for those working in our own food bank here and throughout Swale. We pray for those serving in the contact centre on Saturday mornings. We pray for those broken families and broken lives, that your healing would come there too. We pray for those working in CAP, for those struggling financially. We pray for the street pastors too, working in the community. Father, would you help us take that risen Christ inside of us, out into our world, out into our community, and out into our town. Let's finish by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive those who trespass against us. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing before Nathan comes to speak to us. When I survey the wondrous cross. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, good morning, church. He is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Greetings to you all this morning on this beautiful, beautiful morning. So good to see so many of you here today. I greet you all in the wonderful name, the saving name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank him and we thank him for all that he has done for us. I want to thank Richard and the worship team for leading us in worship this morning. I want to call your attention today to two passages. I'm not going to keep you long, but there's a word the Lord has given me to share with you today. And first of all, I want you to consider Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 to 15. And it reads like this: while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and they stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Now going to look at the book of Acts. And now we're going to see the effects of the resurrection, the impact of the resurrection in full view. Acts chapter 3, verse 15 to 20. And it reads like this: Peter speaking to the Jews, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." I want to read that again. Peter says to them, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." And then Peter goes on to say, "We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Amen. Amen. I want to ask the question today: are you connected to the right source? Say that together. Are you connected to the right source? Friends, it was in the year of 1912. And whenever we hear a reference to 1912, for those of you who are lovers of history, you will know that something significant occurred in the year of 1912. Perhaps one of the greatest disasters took place there on RMS Titanic. 1,500 people lost their lives on that day. And it's interesting, some months ago, as I was watching a documentary, and an individual named Edith Rosenbaum, who was a survivor of the ship, Edith Rosenbaum would begin to tell her story of how she survived Titanic. And it's interesting, Edith, a year before, was involved in an accident. And she was given, in recovery, a toy pig. It was a money bank. And she felt, and her family felt, that this was a good luck charm. And Edith also would bring along with her on the Titanic and board the ship with this good luck charm. And as the Titanic would begin to sink, Edith, who was summoned to get on board a lifeboat, she was scared. She did not want to make that step into the boat. So one of the men said to her, "If you don't get on board, I'm going to take your toy and I'm going to throw it onto the ship." So she decided that I'm not going anywhere without my favorite lucky pig. So she did what she was told and she got on board the lifeboat. It's interesting, friends, that many, not only Edith, but many since that time and before that time and even now, consider luck as an explanation for either being saved from something devastating or from experiencing good fortune in one's life. Some will say it was Lady Luck that Edith was able to survive Titanic. And many today use Lady Luck, a close shave. "Oh, I better count those lucky stars. Oh, that was close." Some even suggest it was the universe shining on me that allowed me to have this good fortune in my life. Some even suggest nowadays that it's good energy being reciprocated in my life. But not only did Edith Rosenbaum on board the Titanic suggest that luck was the reason for her being saved, but even right here in the text, the religious leaders were about to conjure up a plan to try and explain that the body of Jesus that they had killed on Calvary, they wanted to come up with a logical plan as to what had happened to the body. But I want to suggest with all assurance and boldness today that the reason why the body of Jesus was not in the tomb was not a close shave. It was not Lady Luck. It was not the universe shining down at that moment. It was not good energy being reciprocated. It was not luck, but it was nothing but the hand of God and the grace of the divine that allowed the body of Jesus to get up on the third day. And friends, I want to suggest to each and every one of us today that whenever we relegate the power of God to mere human luck in our lives, it's a sign that we are connected to the wrong source. It's a sign that there is a connection problem. Though sometimes we're trying to connect to the internet. I never forget my mum once, she said, "Nathan, I'm struggling to connect to the internet on my iPad. Nathan, come and see what's happening here. I can't seem to connect to the Wi-Fi. I'm typing in Google and nothing is happening." Lo and behold, only to find when I took the iPad that she was connected to aeroplane mode. She was connected to the wrong source. And friends, that is the problem when we look out among us today. Many are walking around living life, perhaps even in good health. Good things are happening in their lives. They have a lovely family, work good jobs, sufficient money in the bank to pay the bills and look after themselves. And perhaps some would even raise the question, why do I even need to consider the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What relevance does Jesus have for me today? Whenever good things happen in my life, I can't give the credit to Jesus, whom I can't see. But it's just good fortune, Vi. It's just luck. I'm just fortunate. But I want to suggest today that no, it's not luck. Sometimes it bothers me, and I understand it, when people experience and go through a really difficult time or an accident, a car accident, and when they come out, they say, oh, I was lucky. But we know as believers that it's not luck that sustains us day by day, but it is the hand of God in our lives. The power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. That is alive forevermore. That continues to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. And the religious leaders, they were in a bit of a quandary. We killed him. He's supposed to be dead, Miles. We got rid of him. We were there, we witnessed it. He hung between two thieves. He's supposed to be dead. We took him down from the cross. We put him in Joseph's brand new tomb. They rolled a stone in front of the tomb. There's no logical reason as to how and why his body would not still be in the tomb. But oh, see what a morning. Because when they rolled the stone and they found out that there was no one there, it fulfilled all righteousness that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he rose with all power in his hands. And now the religious leaders were trying to come up with a plan, trying to conjure up a logical reason. Let's blame it on the disciples. Those rebellious group of people. Yeah, we'll say that it was them. They came and they stole his body. We'll put the blame on him. Instead of desiring to exercise faith to believe that he was telling the truth all along, that he would rise on the third day, they would rather conjure up a plan in their own human minds to try and explain why Jesus was no longer there. And friends, as we come now to Acts chapter 3, we also see the ramifications still boiling as the Jews were trying to come to terms with the fact that the Messiah, the one who walked the streets of Galilee, Capernaum, and Jerusalem, the one who taught many great parables and performed many miracles, they were still trying to come to terms with the fact that we can't pinpoint his body. There is no grave site where we can come and visit and pay homage and respect. So there was murmurings going around. How do we explain this mystery? Yes, we believe in God as Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but yet still there still is a little bit of difficulty in explaining whether or not Jesus was truly the one sent from God, truly the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So after a man at the gate, Beautiful, who was lame, was unable to walk, was healed by the power of God through Jesus Christ, the Jews were amazed. Peter told him, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. He began to walk and leap and shout. But the Jews were astonished. How did this man, how was he able to rise up and walk? And Peter was able to explain to the crowd that the same one whom you killed was responsible for this man's healing. It wasn't good fortune. It wasn't lady luck. It wasn't the result of a pig. But it was the result of faith in the name of Jesus Christ that allowed this man to get up and walk again. And friends, I want to encourage you today that we still believe that in the name of Jesus Christ, we can rise up and walk, not just literally, but from anything that we are experiencing in our lives, we can claim healing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Whenever we call on his name, demons tremble at his name. Peter says to the crowd, you killed the author of life. And now, crowd, it is incumbent upon you to turn to God, to embrace the Son of God as the true Messiah, to embrace not only that he died, but also embrace that he got up on the third day. You must repent and turn to God so that you can experience the refreshing in your life. So friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ not only was a historical event, but it paved the way for an open invitation to receive a life secure and a life-changing connection. That even thousands of years later, even in our 21st century way of life, we too can experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And I want to leave with you today as we come to our sermon notes. Number one, in order for us to experience this connection with Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Number one, we have to check our connection provider. We need to check our connection provider. As we read the religious leaders in Matthew, they were trying to come up with a plan to explain why Jesus was no longer there. And it was the same for the religious people in the book of Acts. They were amazed that this man was healed, but they did not want to associate his healing with Jesus Christ. Yeah, we don't mind saying the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the one who led Moses, healed him, but we're not too sure if we want to embrace Jesus with this man's healing. And I want to encourage each of us here today that it's not enough just to believe in the God of the Old Testament. But we must also embrace the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the life-saving gift that he came into this world, he died on the cross, and he rose again on the third day. We must be connected to Jesus Christ. I'm so glad my family here today, and yesterday, Tilly, my niece, she's here, and she said yesterday that, don't want to put her on the spot, but she said yesterday that when she was younger, they took her to church, and she was so excited to see Jesus. And when she went to church, after she came home, said to her mum, she was disappointed that she could not see Jesus. She could not see him physically. And I'm here to encourage us here today that there are many around this world that won't believe in the resurrection because they were not there to see it as an eyewitness. Because people want tangible proof before they believe in the resurrection. Ken Sumble say, I can't believe that he rose from the dead because I didn't see it for myself. After all, seeing is believing. Yes. So if I did not see it with my own eyes, I can't believe it for myself. But oh, we know as children of God, although we may not have been there to witness it with our own eyes, but we know thousands of years later that the same resurrection power of Jesus has opened our blind eyes, that now we can say, once we were lost, but now we are found. I was blind, but now I can see. Why? Because of Jesus.
Amen.
If Christ were not risen from the dead, then we might as well pack up now and go home. This would all be a waste of time. We might as well change the church name from Sittingbourne Baptist Church to Sittingbourne Social Club. That is the importance of the resurrection. If Christ not be risen from the dead, then our preaching and our faith is useless. Complete waste of time. I might as well have continued to seek football as a career. Complete waste of time. But oh, we know that our preaching is not in vain. That our faith is not in vain. Because we know that each and every one of us have a story to tell. That we were once lost in sin. But Jesus changed our lives, Sally. He transformed our lives. Who could it be but Jesus? So I want to ask the question today, are you connected to Jesus?
Yes.
Are you connected to the right source?
Yes.
See, the crowd were just, they just felt it was okay to believe in God as Father, to respect and to revere God as Father. But Jesus says, I and my Father are one. And we must embrace not only God as Father, but also God through Jesus Christ. So do you recognize Jesus as the Son of God? Do you believe that he died on the cross and that he rose again on the third day? If you do, then you are connected to the right source. But finally, not only do we need to check our connection provider, but finally, we must choose faith and receive resurrection power. Peter, in his what is considered his second sermon after the day of Pentecost, he does a wonderful job in linking the resurrection of Christ to the man's healing at Gate Beautiful. And sometimes people get so caught up in human logic and reasoning that we fill our minds and our hearts with the wisdom of man rather than seeking to embrace faith in Jesus Christ. We would rather believe in human explanations rather than believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter was so bold to make sure that he mentioned to the crowd that the reason why this man was able to get up and leap around and shout, it was no one else but faith in Jesus Christ. And then Peter began to offer the crowd hope. And the same hope that Peter offered to them is the same hope that is available for each and every one of us here today. Peter offered the crowd an opportunity to receive the love of God. Although they had rejected the Messiah previously, although they had caused Jesus' death on the cross, Peter says, you have an opportunity to turn to him, to repent of your sins, and to experience the refreshing of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. That you can experience the refreshing of the resurrection. You can experience the peace that comes from the resurrection. That you can experience the joy that comes from the resurrection. And friends, I want to leave with you today, and it's so amazing, and it's so powerful, that on this Easter Sunday morning, all day long, even from the breakfast this morning, there's a difference in the atmosphere. You can sense it amongst even your faces, your countenance. There's a sense of expectation and excitement for this special day. But I want to encourage you today that Easter Day is not just a one-day experience. But for the Church of Jesus Christ, every day is Easter. Every day is Easter for the Church of Jesus Christ. That means every day we can find joy in the resurrection. And we should always come into the house of God with expectation in our hearts that the same resurrection power on that Easter morning is still available even today. So are you connected to the right source? Number one, for those of you who have not yet come to faith in Jesus, today is a good opportunity to get connected to the right source. But secondly and finally, I also want to talk to the Christians. Because yes, you are connected to the right source. But just like how my mum was experiencing problems with her iPad, she was connected to the right source, but she had deviated from the connection. And she was no longer to enjoy the benefits of the connection because she had deviated away from the connection. So I want to encourage someone today. Yes, you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but could it be that you have strayed away from that secured connection? Could it be that there are some connection problems? You're trying to get online, but it's just spinning, buffering, struggling to find that constant connection. We've all been there. But I want to encourage you today on this Easter Sunday, the Lord wants to get you back connected to the right source. So I want to pray now. Number one, for those who are not yet connected to Jesus, to the right source, Today's a wonderful day to be connected. So glad to see Pavel here today. He got connected on Good Friday. Hallelujah. And there could be someone else who needs to be connected today. But also for the Christian, it's a good opportunity today to get reconnected to the right source. Let's come to a time of prayer. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you that because you rose from the dead, you have allowed us to have the right connection, that through your sacrifice, through your death, and through your resurrection, you have brought into fruition a secured connection. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today that is not yet connected to the right source, that on this wonderful day, that they would open their hearts to you now and say like the crowd, what should I do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died. Believe that he rose again on the third day. And you can be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit and receive that life-changing connection. But I also want to pray for the child of God today, because life has a way of causing us to be disconnected. I pray today that whoever person may be today, that Lord, that they would find a reconnection to you. Thank you that you await with wide open arms. Welcome us back to you. Just like the prodigal son, you're going to throw us a big party, a great big feast, as we get reconnected to you today. So, Father, we thank you for your church, and we pray that we will continue to lift up the resurrected power of Jesus and make him known among us and in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 As the worship team come, today, if you are here and you want to know Jesus for yourself, I'll be remiss today if we did not give an invitation to follow and to get connected to Jesus. Is there anyone here today that you want to know Jesus for yourself? You want to be connected to Jesus Christ? I want you to raise your hand now and be bold. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want to know you. Is there anyone here today that wants to know Jesus Christ for yourself? It is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Hallelujah. And then that second call for anyone who wants to be reconnected. I pray today that today could be your day that you can be reconnected to him. After the service, our prayer corner will be open to my right, to your left, and there'll be prayer partners available to pray with you. And if you would like to spend some time in prayer, then please do meet us in the prayer corner after the service. And we'll be delighted to serve and to fellowship with you in prayer. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
We're going to close our service by singing that great Easter hymn, Thine Be the Glory, Risen, Conquering Son. And David's going to start us on the organ. Let's stand and sing together.
Be the glory, risen, conquering Son, reign now.
Amen. Let's pray as we close our service. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to be reconnected to that source, to that power, that we can have an experience of that risen Jesus this morning. Would you go with us as we leave this place? In the name of Jesus. Amen.